Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast, and we've got a Week in Review show for you tonight as Michael Gross joins us for part of the Week in Review. So we're going to do that. I'll cover the rest of the Week in Review, the things that we didn't talk about, of course. So let's have some fun. Let's get everything started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hey everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast for this Sunday, November 8th, 2020. Hope everyone is doing well, that we're not glued too much to our news feeds, right? I mean, how many times are we refreshing the election results until we finally got a projected winner? I mean, you gotta remember, it's projected. People just take the news at, you know, at face value. The news doesn't have the right to call or assign a presidency. There's no constitutional right, right? So let's all just take a seat and let's see how things play out. We may end up with the same result of the whole thing. And if we do, that's great. But let's just make sure the integrity of our voting system is not tampered with. That's ultimately what it is. Because that's what it makes America, right? We can vote on who we want in. So any votes that are illegal should just be discounted, period. I mean, it's just, that's all it is. Simple. Okay, let's talk wrestling. I just wanted to get my two cents. You would hope that's an uncontroversial statement, right? Like, I'm not skewing one way or the other. I care who wins, but I want a fair winner. I don't want somebody just called ahead of time without a process being done, the appropriate processes. That's all. Okay, wrestling. That's what we're here for. And we've got a Week in Review with you tonight, and Michael Gross joins us for part of the show, and I say part of the show because our connection dropped, and so we will pick back up at another time, but I'll finish the Week in Review solo. What I'll do is cover the topics that he and I didn't cover at the end of the show, so you'll notice it kind of abruptly stops, right? But I will cover the rest of the topics I wanted to discuss with you guys at the end of the show. It's a little bit more SmackDown heavy just because I do a full Raw review, but I want to also get my thoughts in on SmackDown. And yes, we have a great SmackDown reviewer, Michael Ritter, and I do appreciate all the work he's done. And I know that the listeners also do too, but I want to weigh in on my thoughts on SmackDown at the back end of Michael and I, our conversation. So stay tuned for that. And also stay tuned in the coming days for the mailbag episode 2. I do have voicemails, but as promised, I'm saving those for a separate show. So if you want your voicemail put on the air, just send us an email with your voice attached file at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or just call the show. So you can also do that. If you'd like to call the show, the voicemail box is unmanned, so don't worry, it's not awkward. Many people have asked me that. I'm not sitting there like, oh, whoever calls, I'm going to pick up, but it's going to be weird. No, I don't even get the call. It just drops into the voice box. So here's the number, 518-952-0247. And I do have about 5 or so voicemails now. And I do have also somebody that has sent me an email with a voicemail that I promise I will put in the show this coming week. And here's the thing. I know that putting it in a separate show is good, but some of the questions, since I'm only doing it once a week, are a little bit outdated, right? Like if I'm answering a question from Raw that happened a week and a half ago, well, it's going to have to be, it is what it is, but that's, I think, the best way to do this. And many of you have agreed that once a week is good, or at least in a separate show. So that's going to be the format with voicemails. So don't be discouraged if you're like, hey, I sent you one like 4 days ago. Well, yeah, I'm tallying them for my show later this week, which maybe I'll keep on the same day. Maybe I won't. But OK, enough about that. Let's get right into it with Michael and myself talking about this week in WWE. Hope you enjoy it, and then again, I'll be back at the back end of this to give more thoughts on SmackDown, a little bit more Raw, and to close out the show. So thanks, everybody. I'll be talking to you shortly. Alrighty, welcome to the WWE podcast on this week in review, and a crazy week at that, whether political or otherwise. There's a lot going on in wrestling, and that's what we're here to talk about. That's what we're here to get you out of your own reality, out of your own circumstances, and we're here to have some fun playing the sandbox, as I always say. And tonight, I've got the Gardener, Michael Gross, back with us here on the WWE podcast, and I'm really glad to have him back. Hope everything's going well, Michael. How you doing?
I'm great, sir. You know, I really missed everybody out there. I've missed all of you, and, you know, this is the last day of my 44th year, so it's going to be a great broadcast.
So, yeah, that's great, man. You get a restart, right? Like, tomorrow you get a restart. That's great. No, that is really
good. I hope so.
As I always say, when someone brought this to my attention, it's the, well, in my case, my next one would be the 36th anniversary of my birthday, because you only really have a birthday once, right? You're just an anniversary of your birthday.
Very cool.
Happy birthday to you. I'm sure all the listeners would agree with
Thank you.
Hope it's an enjoyable one. Hope you're doing something fun, or at least relaxing, whatever it may be. So let's get into it, man. I mean, I know that you mentioned off the air, you want to talk about something right up front, so I'm not going to let the listeners hang on. You take it and start off the show.
All right. Buddy Murphy is the most talented human being that they have on TV. Besides Apollo Crews, which if you give him a chance, I know he doesn't have charisma for anything, but Buddy Murphy does have all that. And Buddy Murphy is basically – I just swept under a rug, and I think that his time is now. His time is with Seth, and I think that they can really build something up between the two of them right now. It needs to happen now. It needs to happen, because if it doesn't, his career is going to die. Or they'll push him back to NXT. He'll still get main roster money, but the fact is, he is so talented. He is so incredibly great, and what do we give him? Pennies? That's not good. That's not what we do. We love wrestling. We love what wrestlers do. And I'm ashamed of the fact that we have so many cinematic matches and so many cinematic BS visions of wrestling when Buddy Murphy is wrestling like a wrestler. I think that we should all get behind him if there's any way possible. But I really want, like, he and Seth Rollins to have a feud. And Seth Rollins is an amazing wrestler. And people can say whatever they want. They say he's overexposed, whatever. They don't know how good Seth Rollins is. And if they're going to do a program, it has to be now. It can't be any – I'm just afraid that it'll be watered down and be disgusting. I really want it to be now. I want it to be Seth Rollins, Buddy Murphy, not Murphy, you know, and I just want him just to show what he can do, because we all know he can do it.
He can, and I have been waiting for WWE to do something significant with him since – the matches he had with Aleister Black, that I believe was the best two out of three, and he ended up losing that, and that's where he was in his lowest point, and Seth Rollins picked him up as the disciple. And yes, the thing is, and you touched on it, we all know how talented he is in the ring. He might be the most gifted performer that WWE has. He's like the secret of WWE. I think that was one of his – the best-kept secret is what they called him for a while, I believe. And he really is that, though. And now we're starting to see a personality. Now they're adding depth. Now they're adding a story behind him. And I actually like it. Now, many people out there, including myself, at the same time would say, for God's sakes, please, please, please end the Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins dynamic.
Oh, God, yes, please.
For all that is sacred, please end it. And I would be 100% on board. Except for the fact that if we can all suffer through this long enough to see Buddy Murphy become a star, that to me would be worth it through all of this garbage that's been going on for like four, it's been, I think, like 4 months, it feels like, for a long, long time. Through the Aaliyah stuff, through all of the Rey Mysterio and gouge your eye out, and all that stuff that is well behind us that we keep thinking is going to be done. If the byproduct of this, if the benefit of this, if the prize at the end of all of this is Buddy Murphy becoming a star, then I am on board for it. And that's the only thing keeping me interested in this angle is Buddy Murphy. End of story. And yes, Seth Rollins, how talented he is, and he's been kind of really been underutilized the last several months at least. And I'm sure he's at least – he's excited to get away from Rey Mysterio one-on-one, Dominic one-on-one, two-on-one, whatever it is. He's happy, I'm sure, to at least just be working with someone new and to build a new star, and that's what this is all about.
Well, see, here's my thing about Seth Rollins, and everybody like poo-poos on him, so to speak. But the fact is, bell to bell, you find me a better wrestler. You cannot. You really cannot. Selling? Seriously. I can argue, like, there are people I like. Okay, I like Apollo Crews, but he can't sell like Seth, even close. There are so many wrestlers out there, but there is nobody like Seth Rollins. That's why he is Seth Rollins. That's why he got the title out of the three of the Shield before anybody else, because he was important. But of course they had to demean him, which they're idiots with that. But he is so incredibly talented. And I just look at something like him. Oh man, like there's so many things that you could do. So many like just creative avenues that you go down, but they just don't see it. I'm sorry.
I think you're touching on something I believe that a lot of fans are feeling frustration with. Is number one, the underutilization of Seth Rollins over the last, it's been like 6 months, I feel like, that Seth Rollins has been underutilized. It feels like a very long period of time. And it, I think, also touches on the fact that when he was drafted to SmackDown, all of the fans in unison, including myself, said, oh my God, yes, Seth Rollins gets a new environment. He gets a new landscape. It's a fresh start. Let's see what he can do. And we get right back to the Dominic, Rey, Aaliyah nonsense. And again, the only saving grace is Murphy. We know how good Seth Rollins can be, which makes me ask the question, as really good, great as Seth Rollins is in the ring, and how amazing Buddy Murphy is in the ring, can you imagine, because this is inevitable, it's inevitable that Buddy Murphy is setting up Seth Rollins. Can you imagine how good that matchup and string of matches is going to be?
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be off the hook. Honestly, I mean, with the athleticism between the two of them, with the fact that both of them can go for at least a half hour or more, a lot of wrestlers can't do that. The fact that they don't do high spot after high spot, they're saving something. And it might be a high spot special for their match, but I will watch it because they haven't done high spots all the way to the match.
Exactly. That's the thing, and this is the difference between telling a story in the ring, which these two performers can do, and just doing moves, as we've said many times on the show, just to do moves, and there's no story. These two can tell an amazing story, and there's at least a foundation. We know why these two are going to fight, and yeah, it's not official yet, but let's be real, it's coming. And we know why. We know the backstory. There's a long backstory with these two. I mean, how long ago did Murphy join Seth Rollins? I mean, fans were in the arena when that happened. So it has been a long time coming. And it is, to me, you know, like you mentioned at the very top, at the beginning of this topic here, you mentioned that you hope this isn't watered down, they don't screw it up, because this really could be Murphy's only opportunity to really make a statement as a main event player. And could he be that? Yes, but he is going to have to step up his game. Like, this is the only opportunity he's getting. And yeah, if creative gives him total crap, he's going to have to find a way to make it. You know, I mean, the old saying goes, what, the make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what? That's exactly what Buddy Murphy's going to have to do if the creative isn't superb. And I hope that he's taking this as serious as many fans are, because this is the only thing, again, hooking me on this whole angle. Any final thoughts on this before we move on?
No, I just want Buddy Murphy to actually have a push and go forward with his life, because he deserves it. He's a great wrestler. He's a great wrestler, and he's got a great sparring partner with. Well, I still call him Tyler Black. It's a bad habit, but I know. But with Seth Rollins, and man, I just want to see like a great wrestling match, and I think that those two could put on a barn burner. They could just tear the house down. I want to see that.
I think you will. I don't think there's any question that this is coming. And I'm sure that Murphy at times, when WWE did their cuts and their massive cuts over the last year, especially in April when they let like 100 employees go, that he was probably discussed on the table as one of the guys that they might cut. I'm sure he was in a discussion. And he's one of those guys that if this fails and it doesn't go well and this angle flops, and they will blame it on Murphy. They will not blame it on Seth Rollins. They will not blame it on creative. This will squarely fall on Murphy. So I think Murphy needs to realize the pressure that he has on him, because this is sink or swim for him. And he's a guy that I could also see after, like you said at the very beginning, you know, this could end up really bad for him, where he just goes back to obscurity, and the next thing you know, he's future endeavored and then shows up in AEW. I think he'd be a really good fit in AEW, because he'd be one of those guys that AEW looks at and goes, this guy's awesome in the ring. What is WWE not doing with him? Why are they not doing anything? This is a guy, if they screw up, Murphy probably has plan B in my eyes. But
all right. Well, so let's talk about Carmella.
Yes. Yeah, I know you wanted to talk about that, so yeah, go ahead.
Why is she still employed? I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I mean, she's obviously always been eye candy, and the people that made her, which was Enzo and Cass, are gone, and yet she still gets these opportunities to be at the top of the card, and I don't get that. I really don't get that. And she's not terrible, but she's not that good either. And I do not understand why she's getting this push at this point, when they're like, Dana Brooke, I think, is talented. Dana Brooke is a super strong, really good, badass woman. And she's not getting a push. She is kind of, but not the same as Carmella. And I get it. Carmella's like a Barbie doll. She's beautiful. She's 6 foot whatever, and she's just beautiful. But that does not equal talent. And I don't know why she's there, and it just ruins my TV. How about you?
I will say I'm not high on Carmella, but I'm probably not as totally down on her as you, because here's one thing. When she had her first run as SmackDown Women's Champion, I actually enjoyed that more than most. I think she was underutilized, I think, at times as SmackDown Women's Champion. Yes, she had the whole James Ellsworth deal that was very weird and actually ended up taking away from her run. And he showed up at the Money in the Bank ladder match a couple of years ago. And all that was not good for her career, nor was it good for the women's division as a whole. But when you talk about why is Carmella continually here, Well, I think that she's a blonde-haired woman, which Vince McMahon seems to love to hire and put on his screen. I mean, look at the history. You have Sable, Sonny, Trish Stratus, Stacy Keibler, Dana Brooke. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the blondes. Charlotte, that he just has a fascination with blonde-haired women. I mean, there's just no doubt about it that he views the women's division being led by a blonde woman. I mean, like, just it makes, for whatever reason, that's just been the thing with Vince. I mean, so her being blonde, certainly I don't think hurts. She's not bad to look at. She's an attractive woman. I mean, that's always a, I guess, a plus, but in today's women's division, I don't think that nearly matters as much.
No. And,
but again, to Vince, I'm sure it still kind of does. Now, you know, again, Carmella, as you said, she's not bad in the ring. I don't think she is terrible. I think she is okay. I don't know what they're doing with her. Lana's another one. I mean, these blondes just keep popping in my head. But I think what's going to happen is they don't really know what they're doing with Carmella, just as if they didn't know what they were doing when they repackaged Lana to be a ballroom dancer, just as they didn't know what they were doing with, here's another blonde, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose. I mean, geez, the list goes on. But when they repackaged Liv Morgan, when she was in the back, like she was in like a hotel room or something, looking in the mirror about who she is, and they didn't do anything with her, other than you find out she was Lana's lover during that whole weird angle with Bobby Lashley. So, like, I really don't believe, with all those examples I just gave, that they are going to really have a true plan for Carmella. I just don't have faith. And if they do, great. I will eat my words. But her coming out to attack Sasha Banks, number one, at least gives her a new opponent. Although I have some thoughts on Bayley and Sasha as a side effect in a minute. But, yeah, in terms of just specifically Carmella and Sasha Banks, again, it's newer, right? Like, it's a new rivalry. Yeah. People like new matchups. So I guess that's the only positive right now. And Carmella, again, isn't terrible. I really don't think she's terrible. I just don't think they know what they're going to do with her.
No, it's a tough call because she's, oh God, I don't know how to say it, but like, she's just like a tough, like, little kid that no one's ever going to, like, really believe into. No one's ever going to, like, really want. And it...
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And don't worry, I'll mark that for edit. I really don't think that she is somebody that people are going, oh my God, Carmella is so deserving. She's just one of those people that she's just kind of in the women's division floating around. They don't have a whole lot of depth as it is. Let's give her a shot. I mean, you know, we also have Lacey Evans floating around. There's another blonde.
Yes.
I mean, the blonde hair just continues to flood
into my head.
I get
notes about
here.
Her.
Yeah, Lacey Evans. I mean, I guess just quickly on her, it's interesting. When she became a heel, or when she turned babyface from a heel, nothing really changed about her. Nothing, other than they just introduced the backstory of her being a mom. Okay, well, that's, I guess, millions of people are moms, right? So, and she's also a former military woman, which they hid as a heel, which made sense. So it's really the only factor that you could look at and find likable, that okay, she served our country, that's great. And now she's gone back to just being everyone's a nasty, and she's being like Lacey Evans is really irrelevant right now. I don't know what they're doing with her. Do you have any idea what Lacey Evans is doing?
Probably shopping at Target, looking for diapers, something like that. Like, I don't get the fact that, like, they want to push down your throat that she is a mother, she is a patriot.
Yep.
And we all are patriots. I mean, we all live here, you know. But then we don't know what the heck to do with her. They have never had a clue what to do with Lacey Evans. And in the last couple weeks, I look at it and I'm like, you still don't have a clue. It's sad. It's really sad. I mean, I don't really like Carmella or Lana. I don't want to see either one of them in a ring. But I would see Lacey Evans in a ring before them because she actually has more talent. And with that being said, there's no reason for her to be in the ring because they have no story.
Well, that's just it. There's nothing for her right now. The women's division, honestly, outside of Bayley and Sasha, which is, I guess, over for now. For now, it's over. I mean, that was kind of weird that they... Now, look at this. I guess I'm going to be kind of going on a tangent here, but this has really bothered me with Sasha and Bayley. As a whole, it's not that their matches have been bad. We knew their matches weren't going to be bad. In fact, that was the one thing I was looking forward to is... These two have really good chemistry. They've killed it in the NXT TakeOver before. They fought each other, and they've been best friends. They fought each other, and every time they're together, their chemistry's good. There's no problem there. But here's the problem. They have built this up for 6 months plus of how they've won every championship, minus the NXT Women's Championship, of course. How they're best friends. That they're just gloating every single week. Then Bayley breaks up with Sasha, and Sasha's, I guess, by default, a babyface because she wasn't smart enough to see that Bayley was going to turn on her.
It was all predictable. We all know that.
Right. But here's the biggest problem I have. Not only is Sasha, we're all supposed to feel bad for her because she wasn't smart enough to realize, like, she hasn't changed anything about herself other than, you know, the babyface should never be outsmarted. And she was outsmarted by the heel. So now, actually, she's kind of like a pitiful babyface. And then, on top of that, the match that we all were like, oh my God, it's going to be great. They could string it out several months. Their first match after this build was on a SmackDown before the draft. Then we got Hell in a Cell. And then we got another SmackDown match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We got three matches. Two of them were on free TV. What are they doing? There are two of them. Two out of the three matches are on free TV for a program that fans couldn't wait to see have happen. So if this is done for the foreseeable future, I have no idea what the hell WWE was thinking. That's terrible marketing. A terrible way to set up a match program if you want people to subscribe to the network when you get two out of the three matches for free. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know. All right.
No. I mean, that was the Attitude Era, too. I mean, you have to look at that. Like, we have a steel cage above us. You know? I mean, like, what the father? Why do we have a steel cage? And who made this? You know, like, who was in charge of this? That's... Oh, God. It's shoddy booking. All right, so I'm going to talk about some of my notes I have here. First of all, the Street Profits, they need to go away. They need to go away. I have no problem with them being the tag champs, but obviously everybody knows that Montez Ford is going to be the world champion someday in 20 years. But the fact is, right now, in brass tacks and baseball bats, it plagues our television. It is bad tag team television. I would love for them to actually go with the Midnight Express for one match and watch them get their asses get kicked. But they're good. They're not great. You have high spots and low spots, and man, they are just really, really overexposed.
And not only are they overexposed, I mean, but they are also over the top cartoonish.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan, and again, this there's somewhere, somehow, there's a demographic for this. Some people find it entertaining. Oh my God, that's so funny. Ha, they're so fun to watch. They're just so cartoonish. No. Like, this is not, and again, maybe it's just not my flavor. I am not a fan of the characters of the team. In ring, I have no problem. Again, Montez Ford, we all know what know what he is. How many times they do the replay on the splash that Montez Ford does of Corey Graves saying "from the heavens"? I mean, how many times are we going to see that before we are driven home and the fans are just educated to believe that Montez Ford is the star coming out of this tag team? He is, but Again, this is not my cup of tea with their characters. I find it extremely obnoxious. They're not entertaining. I don't know what they're saying half the time. And if not Montez Ford, but Angela Dawkins says "fam" one more time, I may, you know, gouge my eyes out, put a pen in my ear. Fam, fam, fam. Can we just say Angela Dawkins? Right? Like, can we just use names? Do we need to use? You know, it's kind of like Jey Uso saying "Uso." Everybody's "Uso."
Oh, come on! I hate that.
I don't know what it is. Like, can we just use names? Like, if someone called me "Uso," it's what? Do you have a tick, or you know, do you have like Tourette's? Like, what is this? Right? Like, I don't know. But I, that kind of stuff adds up to me. That kind of stuff irritates me. But it is what it is. I'm with you on them being tag team champions. I'm okay with it. I don't know. To me, they make a joke. I don't want a comedy tag team being champions, period, ever. I don't want a comedy tag team champions for long anyway. If it happens as a shock for a couple of weeks and they're kind of transitional champions, fine. But in long term, when you take those belts and you put it on a tag team, that is nothing more than comedy segment after comedy segment after comedy segment. And they're supposed to be cartoonish, entertaining, over the top, this bombastic, just ridiculous volume turned up 10 to 10, obnoxious. That's not a tag team that, to me, are true champions that can hold the belt and add value to it. To me, they're taking away value from the belts. I mean, that's what it's all about to me, so.
No, I completely agree, but you know, we had to do that with the New Day.
Oh yeah, which I've never been a fan of either. I mean, like New Day's kind of the same way. I know I'm in the minority with some of these most listeners, and that's fine. But New Day to me is exactly the same way in a different way, but same. They're in the same umbrella of being entertainment. Throwing pancakes out. Hey, we lost the tag team champions. Yeah. Kofi Kingston lost the championship to Brock Lesnar in 7 seconds. Ah, screw it. Pancakes are more important next week. Everything is just a joke.
No. You know? I'm not trying to instigate a fight or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, it is what it is. It's garbage, and they hate tag team wrestling, and we need better tag team wrestling.
Oh, no question. No question. Unfortunately, I don't think Vince McMahon is focused on that. But
all right.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about Lars Sullivan.
Yeah. What's your opinion on him and the interviews he's done with Corey Graves and Michael Cole?
You know, I've been the person that's chronicled Lars Sullivan more than most people. And my opinion is he's done. He can't have a future after the next couple weeks. I figure like fiscal year after Christmas, they'll just get rid of him. But you can't screw up as much as he has unless your name is Roman Reigns and get away with what he has. So, honestly, at this point, I think he's done.
I would say probably not, only because I think Vince McMahon is dead set on getting this guy over. They have had a lot of problems with him in the past, well documented, the whole Instagram thing, the racist comments in the past, his anxiety attack that he couldn't handle in his initial push. So, like, the fact that this guy is still here is actually pretty amazing. But they have something that they see in him. Vince sees something. He doesn't have a whole lot of support backstage, but he has support from the one man that matters. None of our opinions matter right now. Nobody in the backs matter. It's Vince McMahon's opinion that matters, and he has got the ultimate backup right now in Vince. I don't see Lars Sullivan going anywhere unless he does something again. I'm sure if he has one more misstep in social media and doing bad PR, this guy's gone. But I really don't see it. And I think that the interviews at least are giving us some context for his character. Okay, he was bullied, and then he bullies the bullies. And I'm bullied for the way I talk, and I'm bullied for the way I look. And then I put on 50 pounds of muscle. To me, it's weird.
It's makeup. It's makeup for him being what he did.
Yeah, it probably is. I just, as much as you and I would probably and logically say this guy is done, I don't think he's even gotten started yet. I think this is a, and again, unless he has a misstep from a public relations perspective, this guy is probably here for the foreseeable future. So, I mean, we need to get used to the freak. We need to get used to the screaming and the faces he makes and all that stuff. It's something that we need to just get used to. So, well, let's talk about something good. Right? Like, I mean, okay. I think, let's talk about something good. At least in my estimation, I think this is a pretty safe bet. I think. And that's Roman Reigns' heel turn. The way that he has dealt with Paul Heyman, not even looking at him, if you've noticed, just side-eyeing him at times. The way he disrespects. He doesn't even have the audacity, the balls, to look at Paul Heyman in the eyes. The way that he has talked down to people, make everybody acknowledge he's the chief. So I'll stop, but what do you think about, I'm hoping this is a safe topic to talk positively about what's going on in wrestling, but Roman Reigns' heel turn, how would you say it's going so far with Jey Uso and everything else?
Oh, absolutely beautiful. I love it. I want it. This is what he needed for his career, not for his wrestling purpose or anything else. It's like he needed this for his career, and it was the purposely best. Like it is amazing. It is just a point that the people that like they don't understand, and all those little girls that were scared and wanted to grab something more. They all loved him, but now they don't. It's a beautiful. It's beautiful. That's what I think.
That's a good way to put it. Beautiful is a nice adjective to use. It's showing everybody. It's showing even more, not just the fans, because I think we all knew how good he could be. It's showing creative upper management and most importantly Vince McMahon what they've missed out on for 6 years. We have now revealed the best side of Roman Reigns on camera, and that is just his natural arrogance, his entitlement that you know is sitting beneath the surface that he has to cover with a babyface character. And that's what he's been doing for 6 years, being somebody that he's not and being somebody that Vince McMahon wants him to be. That's the difference. All right, guys, this is where things faded out for us, and so I'll kind of pick it up here. As Roman Reigns, as I said, has been doing an absolute brilliant job. I mean, I cannot say enough about his work, his believability, Jey Uso in a supporting role, Paul Heyman in his limited role. Amazing how Paul Heyman is an afterthought in this. That's a testament to how good Roman Reigns is doing. You know, in your mind, when you're creating this story, you would think Paul Heyman needs to be there to support Roman in one of his weaknesses, which is promos. But in a heel role, it's as if things have been let loose. It's as if he is just going to work and being himself. Now, do I actually believe that he's a total D-bag like this in real life? No. But do I think it lives beneath the surface? Maybe. Maybe. You know, everything I've heard and seen that he's a nice guy and he's a family man. But sometimes that darkness lives beneath the surface. And once it's let out, it's magic. And we're seeing magic right now with Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, who has stepped up big time and is establishing himself as a main eventer. Yes, he's Roman Reigns' lackey. And Jimmy Uso will eventually fall in line as well. There'll be the bloodline. And that's fine, though. You know what? That's more relevant than them. I don't know. What didn't one of them host like the karaoke segment, that famous terrible karaoke segment on SmackDown where they didn't know what to do with the women? I think one of them did. Yeah, because one of them was Naomi. Yeah, because Naomi was there and her husband. Yeah, so now it's all coming back to me. So, yes, this is better than hosting the karaoke segment or being in another tag team match with New Day. Now, Lord knows we don't need to see another one of those matches. So, certainly, this is the absolute best and highest that Jey Uso and soon to follow Jimmy will have been in their entire careers. And you could establish them as true singles main event stars coming out of this, because I think that they're with Roman Reigns for the long term. They're with Roman Reigns probably till the end. I could see this really lingering on for quite many, many months, if not a year plus, where the bloodline just continues to ravage through opponents. They do the dirty work. Roman Reigns comes in and just gets the easy win. That's a great story to tell. And Roman Reigns, the way he talks, he won't even look at Paul Heyman. He side-eyes him. When he speaks, he doesn't even have the courtesy or respect to look at Paul Heyman. It's brilliant. It's great. It's great stuff. Roman doesn't feel like he's being this ultra corporately scripted babyface manufactured out of Vince McMahon's, you know, garage. Because that's ultimately where the babyface character of Roman Reigns came from. Which never truly worked. If it truly worked and it was as successful as they say, why did they turn him heel? Right? You could say, well, he did it for 6 years. Not successfully. Not successfully to the point where they wanted him to be the next John Cena, the next Stone Cold, the next Rock. At that level anyway, right? I don't like when people say, and I know I'm contradicting myself, but when you have somebody say, oh, that's the next Shawn Michaels right there. I don't want anyone to be the next anybody. That's an original. You know, I know what they mean when people say that. Oh, that's the next Stone Cold. No, like I don't want another Stone Cold. But I know that when I say that, I say it to mean I want them to achieve the level of success in the business that Stone Cold or The Rock or Undertaker, whoever did. That's, I think, the distinction here is I don't want someone to be a carbon copy of somebody else. But, okay, see, I'm digging in too deep in something. Okay, but my point is the Roman Reigns thing, man, is awesome. And I'm glad that we kind of turned the conversation because for a while it was a little bit negative. And it just was, you know, that is what we do here on the show is not just for clickbait or to be controversial or to be a produced segment so that all we do is crap on the business. No, if I hated the business so much, I wouldn't be dedicating hundreds of hours a month to this show. You know, like that's not my gig. So if the beginning of the show seemed super negative, well, you know, some of the angles are deserving of it. Dominic and Rey Mysterio. Deserving, right? Carmella, controversial. You could go either way. I mean, you certainly heard our opinions. Roman Reigns is where I wanted to turn things around and make a positive turn. And that's what we did. I want to balance this thing out. I want to balance it out to make sure it's not just a downer of a show because Roman Reigns is certainly a highlight. And I had a feeling over the 6 years that we could get to this point, and I don't even think we've scratched the surface of how brilliant this is going to be. I really don't. I've got nothing to criticize about this program, this angle with Roman Reigns. You know, nothing other than, can Jey Uso please stop saying Uso and use names, you know, like the rest of us? Okay, you don't get to choose names for people, which everyone's just Uso. I don't know. I went on a little bit of rants, as you heard with Michael. But anyway, this is a great angle. I hope it's for the long haul. I really hope, really, really hope they have a long-term plan. This isn't just a one-off for 1-2 months. I don't think it is because of how positive the feedback has been, of how great it's coming across on camera. They're on a roll. They are literally firing on all cylinders with this. They're firing on all cylinders. Absolutely loving it. So, okay, what else happened on SmackDown? Well, Kevin Owens loses to Jey Uso in a qualifying match to be on the SmackDown team. So Kevin Owens continues his descent. Now, does this also mean that maybe Daniel Bryan comes in to help Kevin Owens at some point to try to fend off Roman and Jey? Yeah, it's very possible. Very possible. Now they have a common enemy. You know, you haven't seen Daniel Bryan. Kevin Owens got screwed, and now you have two guys that have been wronged by Jey and Roman to try to take this heel faction down. Will they succeed? Yeah, no, that's not happening, right? But they need opponents to work with, and these two could be really good opponents. Of course, we have Survivor Series to get to soon in just a couple of weeks. Survivor Series will be here just 2 weeks away from tonight. So Survivor Series is closing in quickly. You know, it felt like 4 weeks, now it's two. Man, time pretty, it just goes crazy fast sometimes. So we are halfway to Survivor Series. And after that pay-per-view, we get back to our regularly scheduled programming because Survivor Series is unfortunately a pit stop for the marketing schemes that are just nonsensical. And you guys have heard me rant about Survivor Series because it makes no sense. It doesn't. It doesn't really do anything for anyone, but it should help still forward the angles for the internal programs going on with each brand, meaning with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, which I assume is the main event for probably a month or two after Survivor Series with TLC and maybe the Royal Rumble, these two will face off. It'll push these two ahead. It'll push Raw's programs ahead because people will interfere. There'll be lots of interference and screwy finishes so that the individual programs going on the individual shows can continue to move forward. It's not necessarily about who wins and loses because ultimately no titles are on the line, right? So, alrighty. Well, beyond that, we also, we had Carmella, of course, which you heard Michael's opinion. Mine wasn't as scalding. I had really not too big of a problem with Carmella. I loved her first run as champion, as SmackDown Women's Champion. Yes, we also had Aaliyah. We talked about Murphy at the beginning of the show at length, how good he is, the talent that he has. Seth Rollins, same thing. But, you know, as good as these two are in the ring, I think that the ultimate decision will be the ultimate factor, key success factor, will be the story. It's always the story. I'm not sure why people get so hung up on the moves and how good of a match it'll be. I don't get it. Are we that superficial that all we care about is, I don't care about the story, I just want to see cool moves? That's ultimately what you're saying. Since when has an important story been a second thought or an afterthought after, well, is it going to be a good match? We have seen plenty of matches that have not been good matches that are memorable matches. You want an example of not a physically great match that was remembered forever? How about Rock Hogan, WrestleMania 18? Certainly not a technical match. Very few moves in that match, but it mattered because of the story, right? And the stage it was on. Everything doesn't have to be about how good of a match it'll be. How about we judge the story, or we judge the outcome of the program based on how good the story was? I don't know. I'm just, anybody else in this camp, or am I the lone soldier here, not so concerned about the how good of a match it'll be? Instead, I wanted the story to be good. I think we have been slyly educated by WWE over the last 5 to 10 years to not worry about so much about the story, but to worry about how good of a match they can have. Well, you know, I'm not going to be fooled by this, and I hope you guys won't either, because at its heart, pro wrestling, when it's great, the stories are great, the characters are deep, the matches make sense. And instead, what we've all of a sudden been educated to is, well, the stories, it can be kind of like weak, or it can have some plot holes, but boy, they had a great match. That's not long-lasting success. That is not long-lasting. It's not a formula for long-term success. It may work in the short term with people being satisfied. Oh, it's a great match. Stories. Characters that are deep. And you understand what's going on. That. It's good versus evil. Period. I know it's super simplistic, but that is what will always work. It's a tried and true formula that, yes, it's a very overused at times plot line, but that's ultimately what it's about. It is about stories and characters and understanding who and what they are. But unfortunately for fans, they have been complacent with stories and high on what the match quality is. No. We need to wake up, folks. We need to wake up. Why are we settling for just great matches instead of great stories? I can tell you right now, if you get into a story, that will ultimately make you more satisfied watching a program than how great the match was. Because it will, here's why. You can be enthralled with a story for many weeks, months, or longer. Look at the Roman Reigns angle. We're all loving it right now, for the most part. I think it's a very successful angle so far. Yet, how have Roman's matches been? From a wrestling perspective, they've been brutal, but simple. If you only have a great match, but the story is weak, then the fans only care about that story or that program when they're in the ring. They don't care about the build because the build has been weak, lackluster, non-existent. They only care about it for that short period of time, then they move on to the next thing. Instead, great angles, great payoffs last forever. The fans remember that. Superficial moves without a backstory don't carry any weight. They're short bursts, and I describe it as fireworks. Right? Because you always want the next firework. You want the next, oh, boom, 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 let's do the next thing. Oh, cool, cool, cool. Oh my God, this is great. And then when it's over, you're like, okay, well, that was nice. But you don't feel any emotional connection to fireworks. Right? Most of us are just kind of like, oh, that was fun. Okay, I'm going home. That's it. That's what wrestling fans have been educated to believe is what makes great wrestling. Great matches. And if a great match happens as a side effect of a great story, fine. But unfortunately, we've all been brainwashed to believe that creative comes second and great matches come first. No, 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 no. And I would argue we don't even need to have, quote, five-star matches with for every program. No. Matches can be okay, but have a great story and you're still interested in the outcome. WWE has gotten away with murder by covering up their ineptitude with great matches. No, I'm not being fooled. It's nothing more than masking their inability to tell great stories by telling us how great of a match it was. They're going to steal the show. They're going to tear the house down. Oh my God. No. Those happen as a side effect of a program. And if it happens, it's a bonus. It should not be the focus of what wrestling fans want to care about and see because it's not emotionally invested. You don't have emotional investment. You don't have anything. Because it doesn't last. It does not last. You want to feel, as a human being, we're naturally emotional creatures. If you don't feel anything after a match, satisfied, sad, happy, after that story's been told, and you just go, oh, wow, those moves were pretty cool. They've had a great match. You failed. You have failed. And we have all been complacent with WWE's inability to tell a story, and we're all just completely mesmerized by, oh, my God, they're such great athletes. But no. No. I think I've made my point, but I'm going in circles. I had to get that out because I every time I talk about it, I find a more intricate way to try to describe what I'm feeling in today's wrestling product. And look, I'm a WWE fan forever. I always will be. But I hope I was able to explain it in at least somewhat of a coherent way to you. And maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you don't. And if you love wrestling just for the moves and the holds and the great matches and the five-star matches, then God bless you. I watch it just like I watch a movie, just like I watch a TV show, just like I watch or read a book. I want to hear about, I want to get into the characters' heads. I want to know what they're thinking. I want to know why they're doing what they're doing, where they're going, who they're with, and why they're there. We don't get any of that. We get barely the basics with WWE. And we're supposed to all fill in the blanks because WWE can't do it, won't do it, or doesn't know how to do it. That's not for every story. Again, we have a brilliant Roman Reigns story going on right now. That's a perfect example of a current story going on that we're all invested in. Yet, has Roman Reigns had a five-star match yet? Or has he had a really good match? No. But we all care because we're invested in the character and the story. So I think I'll stop that rant right there. But okay, moving on here. Again, the Street Profits and Billie Kay. Billie Kay is just a kind of a pretty face backstage who says she has some ties into Raw and they can get and figure out what New Day is going to do, as if there's some kind of strategic advantage there. Moving on. I'm just going to move on. Otis versus Seth Rollins. for the opportunity to be a part of the SmackDown team at Survivor Series. Oh boy. Otis, who WWE has narrated as falling on hard luck. And he has. He absolutely has. In terms of storyline. Ends up losing this match as well. And I would venture to guess that if Otis was in front of live fans right now, I don't know if he would be getting cheered. He lost some Money in the Bank. He lost Mandy Rose. So that helps, because now he's kind of at ground zero, building his way back up. But the whole gyrating thing, the whole he gets punched and he just seems to get stronger and starts gyrating and gets a chop, and he just starts wiggling his belly and wiggling his hips. This is cartoon garbage. I don't understand. You could say, well, it's the equivalent of hulking up. Otis is not Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan had a believability about his character, a seriousness about the Hulk up. The Hulk up wasn't done as a joke. The Hulk up was done as like a shot of adrenaline. And you know somebody's in trouble now. It wasn't done as comedy, where he was jiggling, gyrating, swiveling his hips. I have a feeling, I'm telling you, if this was in front of fans, Otis would probably get a mixed reaction, and I'm being kind when I say that. This is nothing more than a Vince McMahon special with Otis. Seriously. So, all right. But Otis ends up losing because of Buddy Murphy coming out to apparently help Seth Rollins. Now, Seth Rollins ends up at the end of the match catching up with Murphy, who seems to be coming back to Seth Rollins. Aaliyah immediately comes up and said, what the hell's going on? And we have Murphy saying, don't worry, this is for the greater good. Meaning, I have a bigger plan. Just trust me. And that's what he said. He said, you need to trust me. It's exactly what it was. And this is nothing more, I think, than Murphy, who's going to end up screwing Seth Rollins, maybe at Survivor Series, leading to a program between these two. And as Michael and I talked about at the beginning of the show, this is something I'm really looking forward to. Like, I can't wait. You know, and I hope Murphy gets more mic time, because he's showing some character. He's showing that it factor. He's showing that he can hang so far. So, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to this, because there's a story. Not just that they're going to have a great match. I don't know why that is a priority for people. Story matters. Story will always supersede match quality. I mean, it just will. I will go to my grave saying that. Again, we got Jey Uso and Kevin Owens to close out the show. It was a very wrestling heavy night, and I'm cool with that. Again, the show opened with Sasha and Bayley, but I don't know why they have given away this program two matches on free TV. All right, well, as we look ahead, though, to Monday Night Raw, because I have my full Raw review if you want to listen to that early in the week, 6 days ago on the feed. But we also, this coming week, WWE is advertising that Drew McIntyre is going to stop by a Moment of Bliss. So, does Randy Orton show up? Does The Fiend show up? It looks like these three, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, and The Fiend, are headed for a triple threat. Not at Survivor Series, because that's not the matches. Randy Orton's already involved in the match, but could be for TLC. TLC could be a bigger pay-per-view than people are really, you know, traditionally looking at that pay-per-view for. Certainly, they could have a really, really good program if done right. The Fiend versus Drew McIntyre is an interesting program, because does The Fiend end up changing Drew? I mean, we're a step away from that, because they haven't officially really introduced to one to the other. But interesting nonetheless. So, all right. Well, again, guys, 2 weeks away, and we are in Survivor Series, and it's The Undertaker's final farewell, which to me is nothing more than a setup from November to WrestleMania, as The Fiend will likely attack The Undertaker. That is my official prediction. Has been for a year and a half, 2 years now, that The Fiend, since the character debuted and teased us with the date of 11/19 or 11/22, whatever it was, that it will be The Undertaker and The Fiend to close out his career. Good, bad, or indifferent, Undertaker is going to call it a day at WrestleMania 37 against The Fiend, and that's how he should go out, with The Fiend victorious over the Dead Man. I think that's how it probably should and will go down, and I'll be continuing to do WWE nostalgia shows on Wednesdays focused on The Undertaker until Survivor Series, and then we'll move on to another subject. But I think that's it, guys. I mean, I know there's tons of other little things maybe we didn't cover, but on a side note, Alex Trebek, as we all know, has passed away, so kind of sad, right? Like, I feel like I just watched him, and he was doing good, and he talked about his cancer, and he's, you know, in the small percentage of those who have survived this long, and he's gone. So kind of puts things in perspective once in a while, right? Like, you have somebody that, even a celebrity, that you somehow feel close to, even though you've never met them, right? Many people felt that way with Kobe Bryant and his daughter that passed away earlier this year in a helicopter crash. That I believe that was back in February. Many people were sad over it and literally crying. They never met the man. Just a sad, sad thing that happened. But 2020, man. I mean, this has been, when you look at this, think about this. 2020, we started out with the wildfires in Australia. Then we got Kobe Bryant and his daughter in a helicopter crash in February. We all know what happened in March with coronavirus. Then we get the riots and everything else going on with George Floyd from, you know, May till August, it felt like. Then we get this disaster of an election. I mean, can 2020 leave faster? Alex Trebek dying? I mean, this has been, I think I can say in unison, the worst year news-wise. Maybe not in your personal life, and hopefully things are good, but news-wise in quite a while. Oh, one other thing. Ruby Riott ends up getting the victory on SmackDown. So I think that is a good thing for Ruby Riott, who cut her hair, and boy, is she looking interesting. She's an interesting-looking woman. I don't mean that insultingly. She's just very different-looking with her tattoos and her green hair and her physique. Everything about Ruby Riott is different, and that's not a bad thing, you know. She doesn't have to be the tall, skinny blonde with the silicone boobs to make it, right? So we've seen Becky Lynch, hell, make it on her own without that. So, but I like Ruby Riott. I think she has something to give, and I think that she could make an impact at Survivor Series for her team. I think in a big way, but we'll see how far they want to go with her. So I think that's it, guys. The rest of the week, we have, what the heck is today? Sunday. Tuesday is my Raw review, of course. Wednesday is nostalgia. And you guys know the rest of the week is I think we're producing like 7 shows a week now. So again, send those voicemails to the email address or call us at our phone number that I gave you earlier in the show. Also, check out Anthony DeMarco and his coverage of HBK versus Triple H. Really good coverage. He goes over. He has a couple of audio samples that are, I think, really well placed. Probably audio samples that I would have actually played myself, and covers the program in depth well. I mean, I really have nothing bad to say about his coverage. He's just really good at breaking down the program, how it happened, why it happened, the impact of it, the stage in which it happened. I mean, he's just very well done, and I hope that you guys check out his rivalries that he did on Friday. You know, I know many of you love it, and it's our second most downloaded show of the week. So congratulations to Anthony, who's killing it right now. All right, guys, thank you so much, and hope everyone's doing well, and have a good night, morning, or whatever it may be for you. Take care.